James chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Praise be to God for his word. Well, wisdom is a term not too often used today. Of course, we know the term. In fact, we need wisdom each and every day. As wisdom affects every aspect of our lives, it affects our work, it affects our personal life, it affects our health, and affects our finances. And wisdom has to do with making choices, and it knows right from wrong. This morning we are back in James chapter 3. And today wisdom is James' focus. And when you look at this letter from James, we see a certain flow up to this point. In chapter 1, James writes regarding the testing of our faith. In that, by our faith being tested by various trials and tribulations, this testing produces steadfastness. It grows our faith, and it strengthens our faith. He then instructs us that we must not merely be hearers of the Word of God, but we are to be doers of that Word. Putting into practice what we have learned, we are called to action. That by being a doer who acts, we will be blessed in our doing. And in chapter 2, we are not to commit the sin of partiality. Rather, we are to treat everyone within the church. Everyone is to be treated equally under Christ as a fellow servant, a slave, with all love and respect. Furthermore, we are to walk in the works that God has created for us to do so. For our faith without works, as James says, is dead. Indeed, we are to show our faith by our works. And now we come to it in chapter 3. We are to strive to bridle our tongue. Because if we control our tongue, we have control of our bodies and our whole being. We have self-control. And all these things up to this point come about by two things: knowledge and wisdom. Now, the title of this morning's message is Wisdom from Above is Pure. And we will see just where wisdom comes from and why it is so vitally important to our faith. So in James chapter 3, verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. So James poses a rhetorical question here, one that should cause us to examine ourselves. And his question highlights two virtues, wisdom and understanding. He writes, who is wise and understanding among you? Now, a person who is wise, they know the right thing to do and just when to do it. A wise person has attained knowledge and is able to employ that knowledge correctly. And these two virtues go hand in hand, for a wise person indeed has understanding. Simply put, they know things. They have learned things. They have observed things. And they have experienced things. And many times wisdom is accompanied by old age, as people who live long on this earth do experience many things. And as such, they have gained a working knowledge of the world. And in this context here in James, a knowledge of the Word of God. And this is something we, of course, all should be pursuing. For one cannot be wise if they lack understanding. Quite the contrary, when someone lacks knowledge and acts accordingly, we call them, or they are considered, a fool. For acting in an unwise manner is deemed foolish. And we all know a foolish person makes bad choices. They are bad at making decisions. Whereas a wise person makes good choices and has a discerning mind. And the more we study and read the Word of God, we gain knowledge and we are given wisdom. And it is by this knowledge of the Scriptures we are given a renewed mind and a renewed way of thinking, a new mindset that reveals to us the foolishness of this world. A wise and discerning mind knows right from wrong. It recognizes good and evil. And this is learned by teaching the Word. Now, this question posed by James should be considered by each of us because it draws our attention to our own conduct. For we as Christians are to conduct ourselves in the manner of a disciple of Jesus Christ. We are to be followers of the way. And the way refers to the way we live, as demonstrated by Jesus himself. He is the way. And though we are not perfect, we strive for obedience to do what is right and good and true. And we learn what is right and good and true by what the Bible teaches us. In the Bible, we are given instructions on how to live and how to think, what to believe, and in whom to trust. And a wise person understands this and practices it. When becoming a Christian upon hearing the gospel, repenting of sin, and believing and placing our trust in Jesus of Nazareth, we are to then, from that moment on, conduct ourselves in a certain way as believers. We attend church. We participate in corporate worship. We both read and study the Word of God, and we pray. If you ever need to be reminded of how a Christian is to be, just read Acts 2:42 and commit it to memory. For this fellowship of believers devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. Remember, the early church did not have Bibles as we do. These are the things we are called to do as Christians. We are called to live peaceably with everyone as much as it is up to us. We are to aspire to live quietly and to mind our own affairs and to work. We are to live in the Spirit, denying the desires of the flesh, which seeks out sin. As we read in Romans 8, verses 9 through 11, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Our lives are to be living sacrifices to God. Remember, under the Old Covenant, the shedding of blood in the death of an animal was the consequence for atonement to cover sin. For the wages of sin is death. And Jesus, in his death, not only covered our sin, but removed it from us forever. All of our sins past, our sins present, our sins future, have been condemned to die in the flesh, having been paid for by his righteous blood. The ultimate sacrifice of Christ was death, death on the cross, so that we who are in him would offer sacrifices not in our death, but rather as we live in him. We no longer have the consequences of death hanging over us in this life. We are guaranteed eternal life because of the resurrection. For the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so as we read of being living sacrifices in Romans 12, we understand this. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Again, the fingerprints of wisdom are here. Renewal of the mind through the Word of God, being transformed to discern what is good and acceptable and perfect. This is wise. This shows understanding, to have a discerning mind renewed by the washing of the Word. Not conformed to wretchedness, but transformed to holiness. So that those who are wise and have understanding now conduct themselves well and show their works in the meekness of wisdom. As Christians, what we think, what we say, and what we do matters a great deal. Because we have the truth and we know what we previously read in James 2 regarding faith and works, we now understand that our works provide evidence of our faith. James said, faith without works is no faith at all. It is dead. And thus we are to strive to conduct ourselves in obedience to the Word of God. It does not save us, but it proves our salvation, that we are in fact in the faith. Knowing that any good work that we accomplished in this life has been prepared for us to accomplish by His hand and not our own. Again, this gives glory not to us, but to God. For our goal is not to glorify ourselves, but to glorify Him to whom all glory is due. Now the text says, show our works in the meekness of wisdom. I love this term in our language, meekness. To be meek is to be humble, self-controlled, to be strong in silence and patient. All attributes of wisdom and all pertaining to behavior for our conduct is to be good. That's why when we're kids, we're dropped off at a friend's house or dropped off at grandma and grandma's. Mom and dad will always say, be good. We need reminders. We need constant reminders to be good as we battle the flesh, to do what is right, lest temptation find us. When my kids walk out the door, I encourage them and say, walk in the light, as to remind them of who they are in Jesus. We are a forgetful people, and we serve a God of remembrance. In this, we need to be reminded of how the Word of God instructs us to live. I was told as a child, the Bible is the manual for life. And to neglect its teachings is to be a fool. And to be reminded of what the life of a Christian looks like, please turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now keep this passage in mind as we continue. James 3, verses 14 through 16. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. Now, this pretty much defines the world we live in. And if we deceive ourselves by saying one thing and doing another, this is to be false to the truth. This is hypocrisy. And James lists several attributes here. And he begins with bitter jealousy and selfish ambition. Both things not to be proud of. Remember, the Lord hates pride. And both of these things are prideful. To be jealous of someone is the negative aspect of pride. They have what I want, or they are what I want. This is the very nature of sin, to desire something that belongs to another. And what does this desire reveal about oneself? Selfishness. I want mine without consideration for others. This is not the meekness of wisdom. This does not show humility. Selfish ambition. It's all about me and what I want, and no one else matters. And bitterness. Bitterness is to stew in jealousy. And I know some bitter people. And they are among the most unpleasant individuals to be around. The way they talk and act and think, and it's very sad. And it's interesting that jealousy goes hand in hand with selfishness. Not something to boast of, but to be considered false to the truth. Boasting is born of pride. We see this in the day-to-day world, the hubris of mankind. Hubris meaning excessive pride, overbearing arrogance. This is the world, and it is false to the truth. And earlier in chapter 3, James noted, this is not how we ought to be, pertaining to the tongue and how with it we both bless God and curse those made in his image. We are not to be false to the truth and deceive ourselves. And James really spells out what we are to look for when we examine ourselves. For when a believer looks inward to examine their faith, it is by these things we should take our measurement. We are to genuinely take stock of ourselves and right the ship if we stray off course. To be false is to lie to the truth. James writes, this is not wisdom that comes down from above. So in this, he says, the source of our wisdom comes from above. Wisdom comes from God. And this is why the so-called conventional wisdom of the world is foolishness. It is the wisdom of the world, not from above. And how does James define the wisdom of the world? It is earthly. It is unspiritual. It is demonic. Earthly wisdom is not heavenly wisdom. Earthly wisdom is contrived of man. And man deceives himself, believing he is wise. Yet what does Scripture tell us? Proverbs 3:7 says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. For true wisdom comes not of the earth, but from above. No, worldly wisdom is unspiritual. The world would have us believe we are clumps of matter. We are packaged stardust and life is meaningless. This flesh and bone and blood, that's all there is to us. And when we die, we cease to exist. That's it. And if that is the case, of course, what is the point of living? This is utter foolishness. It is unspiritual. And to be unspiritual is to be walking in the material, walking in the flesh, living according to the flesh. Yet we as Christians are called to walk in the Spirit and not to be in the flesh. For to do the opposite, James writes, is demonic. Worldly wisdom is demonic. It is of evil, corruption, and darkness, contrived also by demonic powers. And we must make no mistake in our thinking to believe otherwise. All we need to do is look around us and observe the world. You turn on a newscast or turn on the radio and listen to the music of today. Even walking into a store and listening to how people speak and notice how they conduct themselves. In my 40 plus years of walking this earth, I have witnessed society go from bad to abysmal. And it's only just begun. When I was young, it never would have occurred to me that people would one day question gender or condone the open murder of children, creating laws to do so. These are abominations, plain and simple. Condoning and promoting homosexuality is an abomination. Abominations are things that Yahweh hates and has set apart for destruction. His cup of wrath is filling up. And in his perfect timing, he will indeed pour it out. But back to the text. Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. Again, it is very difficult to not see the disorder of the world. The world has changed and everyone can sense it. And as we say, it vexes us. We observe that the disorder around us. We see people and nations rage against God. And this is utter rebellion. It is utter rebellion in opposition to the Creator. And we must keep watch and look out for these two things. And James is giving a stark warning regarding jealousy and selfish ambition. He writes, where these things exist, they result in disorder in every vile practice. And of course, we know our God is a God of order, because order is the only thing that makes sense. And when order breaks down, you have chaos. You have disorder. And when you have chaos, the true nature of man, the desires of his heart are revealed. And that leads to every vile practice. These are unspeakable evils. They are morally despicable and abhorrent. These are things we don't even want to consider. And yet, today, we are forced to deal with. We just covered a few of them because they're pushed in our face every single day by the media, by the internet, by politicians, celebrities, etc. But these things are demonic and evil, and we need to start identifying them as such. When a politician endorses a bill that promotes and protects the right to murder children, that is evil. When physicians promote gender therapy to children, that is evil. When school teachers teach abominations to children, that is evil. When people mutilate their bodies in the futile attempt to become something they will never be, that is evil. And when the holy matrimony of man and woman is corrupted by the abominable practice of same-sex union, clearly condemned by Scripture. That is evil. These things are not from above. They are of the earth. For wisdom from above is first pure. James 3, verses 17 and 18. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. It is important to know just where wisdom is derived from. Where does wisdom come from? James tells us that wisdom comes from God alone. And we know this by how he qualifies this wisdom. He writes, wisdom from above is first pure. And as such, we know it is of God, because to be pure is to be undefiled and pristine, not polluted. And when we think of pureness, we always think of water. At least I always do. We think of pureness and water. And most people are concerned with what they consume when it comes to water. But this wisdom from heaven has not been corrupted, nor is man able to alter it. By definition, it is pure. It is perfect. Heavenly wisdom is then peaceable. This wisdom does not incite conflict or dissension or jealousy. No, it promotes peace. It is gentle. It is not harsh or abrasive. It is not demanding or forceful. It is gentle. It is pleasant. It is enjoyable, making it open to reason. And today, we do not have minds that are open to reason. For we see individuals who don't want to have debates that are facilitated by reason. People don't care to reason together. Rather, they just want to shout down those who disagree with them and believe whatever they think is right. This, of course, is also foolishness. For wisdom from above is open to reason. It is above all rational thinking. It makes good sense because it is right and true. Wisdom from above is full of mercy, and not mercy that is to withhold what is deserved like a punishment. But being full of mercy means full of compassion, to be sympathetic and show genuine care to someone in distress. That's the type of mercy we're speaking of here in this context. And Matthew 9:36 says of Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. He had mercy for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus has great compassion for his people. He is full of mercy. And mercy bears good fruit. Just as good works are the result of faith, these are also good fruits resulting of mercy. Wisdom from above is also impartial. This is the beginning of James chapter 2, where James addressed the sin of being partial, the sin of partiality, to treat others and look upon others differently because of their wealth or their status within the church. No, heavenly wisdom is impartial, and it is sincere. And sincerity is marked by honesty. It is pure genuineness. To be genuine is to be real and to be true. That is why we use the term genuine Christian versus just Christian. A true Christian is one who genuinely believes in Jesus. And the rewards of righteousness are planted in peace by those who make peace. It takes a wise person to make peace. And I enjoy the farming imagery here that James uses, because we read frequently in the scriptures of farmers. Those who strive for peace among others will be rewarded with a plentiful harvest of righteousness. Righteousness given by God, only belonging to him, that attribute of righteousness. He gives it freely to those he chooses. And as genuine Christians, we are to pursue peace. Our conduct ourselves, and conduct ourselves in that same manner, in the pursuit of peace. We are to be a humble and peaceable people. And it is a great encouragement to us when we read, if we do these things, we will harvest righteousness. Yet to do so, we must desire wisdom that only comes from above. And that being said, our exhortation this morning is this. Do not neglect to ask for wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom from His mouth. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of His saints. Genuine Christians have a desire for wisdom and a thirst for biblical knowledge. We want to know things about our God. We want to understand the question of why. And we want to know the how. And when we consider all that we do not know or will never know about the things in this world alone, that doesn't even begin to compare to all that we will learn in eternity. And for all our advancement in this world, in technology and medical science and aviation and space, the average individual today doesn't seem to be very knowledgeable. And it's because we have so much information coming at us day to day that we do not stop and consider what is actually worthwhile. And we're all guilty of it. We need to slow down. The world is moving too fast for everyone. And we were not created to be beings that could process information in a single moment. God has created us to ponder and to think, to mold it over, to sleep on it. God has given us the ability to reason. He has given us the lens by which we look through to the world. Through His Word, we see the world as it is. And to look through at the world from this biblical lens, it requires wisdom. Because by wisdom, we both know and understand just what we are looking at. And God is the giver of wisdom. It's not a natural ability. We are not born with it. Thus, it needs to be given to us by the source of all wisdom. And each one of us in our prayer life should be praying for wisdom each and every day. Because we all make choices each and every day. The Lord doesn't tell us what decisions we are to make. But He's given us His Word. And He's given us the gift of prayer so that we prayerfully consider a thing and ask Him for wisdom, knowing He will bless us when we make the choice. But we need to ask first for wisdom and pray for guidance that we make the wise and proper choice. And this is done by being knowledgeable of what the Bible tells us. Wisdom, in fact, is so important that there is an entire book of the Bible dedicated to it. Proverbs. And we read it every Sunday in this church. And Proverbs, as we all know, was penned by a man known as the wisest that has ever lived, Solomon. And how did Solomon become so wise? He asked the Lord. Recorded in 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon asks for wisdom. And you know what? This pleased the Lord. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for the destruction of his enemies as king. He asked for wisdom to rule and to rule well. And the Lord said, "Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you." And King Solomon then goes on to write down his observations in Proverbs. So, I would encourage you all, as you go through daily devotions in the Scriptures, to also partake of a daily portion of Proverbs. And we'll close this morning with Proverbs at the beginning. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7 says this: "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Amen and amen. Praise be to God for the wisdom of His word. Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, we thank You for Your word, for by it instructs us how to live. It gives us knowledge of who You are, and it condemns us for our wretchedness. Lord, we thank You that You have recorded and preserved Your word for us. We thank You for the gift of the Helper, the Holy Spirit that indwells in us, conforming us to the image of our King. Lord, each one of us desires to do what is right and good and true in accord with Your word. Lord, help us to be slaves that are obedient to our Master. We all fail. We all falter each and every day. But our hope is in the resurrection and the coming day when we shed this body of flesh, this body of death. And we are given bodies that are like our Lord's, that we would be with Him in spirit and physically, in person, that we no longer look upon Him with the eyes of our hearts, but we would see Him with our own eyes. Lord, we thank You for all that You have done, all that You are doing, and all that You will do. We ask that You would always keep us in Your word and help us abide in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.